Chapter 22. Aspen. Aspen nearly howled as he saw the brilliant cascade of numbers that he somehow knew represented rouge, flicker, and then go out. The last numbers tumbled out of their tidy pattern, and instead swirled as if they were the final wisps of smoke from a blown-out candle. Instinctively, he reached out with his mana, grasping at those drifting numerals even as he sent a heartfelt prayer to his goddess. Gina. Gina, it's me, Aspen. Please, oh goddess, please hear my prayer. Rouge is dying. He swallowed hard against the bile rising in his throat, even as his shoulder slammed hard into a black stone wall. He pounded his fist against it, feeling the last traces of Rouge's essence slipping away. She may already be dead. Please, Gina, don't let her die. The light that surrounded him this time was brilliant, and such a pure color that he thought that he would never again be able to describe any mortal shade with that previously simple word, white. The light grew so great that it developed force, and the wall beside which he stood began to buckle from a concussive burst. In that instant, with the wall half destroyed, the ceiling and walls around him fragmenting into powder, and his mana desperately scrabbling at the final trace of Rouge's spirit, everything stopped. The moment hung suspended in time, as a sliver of the perfect whiteness surrounding him twisted, and a being stepped from nothing. To his utter astonishment, it wasn't Gina. This woman had none of Gina's perfect beauty, her effervescent joy, or the strange sense of burgeoning life that always surrounded her. Instead, this woman, though pretty, was merely human. Her hair was long and brown, and her eyes were a rich greenish color. She was slightly plump, and her nose was tilted up at the end. She was also, though he was certain he'd never met her before, strangely familiar. The woman smiled at him, looking as if she'd met an old friend for the first time in a very long time, and wasn't certain when they next might meet. "Hello, Aspen." Aspen blinked, feeling oddly disconnected, as if this moment and the one before were each part of two different lives. His desperation and horror at seeing his friend fade away were still there, but distant, and he could hold them and the astonishment and awe of this moment at the same time. I. He stumbled, feeling a million questions tangle on his tongue. Finally, he just shook his head and said, "Hello." She laughed, though it sounded a little choked. "Hello, Amy. My name is Amy. And I'm so very glad to meet you, Aspen." Aspen just nodded, though he lifted one hand slightly before letting it fall to his side again. Amy stepped forward, reaching out to grasp his hand, picking it up and holding it between her two warm, soft ones. She smiled again, though this time there was a hint of a mischievous twinkle to it. "I can't stay long. The system is applying a patch, and I slipped into that moment of inattention, I guess. I'm having to speed up your perceptions to make this work, and it's dangerous to do it for long. I just really wanted to see you," and, she tilted her head, "I guess that's it really. You're someone very important to me, and I don't know how long I'll be able to do things like this." He shook his head, though his hand tightened around hers without his conscious control. Who are you? Are you Gina's friend?" flashed through his mind, but he said, "Servant? You don't look like," he broke off, not sure how to say it without being insulting. She knew what he meant anyway. "A goddess? No, I'm just a person. I do know Gina, though. She's very busy right now, but she set things in motion for this." She freed one hand and waved at the light and the destruction surrounding them. "A long time ago, so even though she can't come herself, she's still taking care of you." The light shifted, dimming an infinitesimal amount. Amy growled in frustration. "Damn. They'll notice me soon, and I can't risk that. Just listen." She too started to fade, and his hand clenched around nothingness. "You're about to be offered a choice. Don't doubt yourself. Follow your heart." She smiled, then vanished, and the world returned with a vengeance. The wall in front of him blew out. Revealed in the shattered stone was a scene that made his heart nearly stop beating. To his right, a thing, disguised as a man but invisible to Aspen's life sense, stood in front of a low door. A deep black cassock concealed him from head to foot, but his hands, yellow and clawed, were fully visible. To the left lay a bone dragon. The beast still had some flesh, but it was desiccated and torn. Shreds of skin and scales hung like the rind of a shriveled orange. One eye was rotted, and Aspen could just make out the skeletonized wings lying uselessly behind the monstrous reptile. The dragon was also the source of the extremely powerful spirit Aspen had seen through the wall. The same spirit that was so corrupted that he could practically smell the rancid stench of it. On the dragon's claw hung the limp body of Rouge. The girl's head hung forward, and her arms and legs were as limp as a marionette with cut strings. He couldn't see her face, concealed as it was by the hood she still wore, but he had seen the slack faces of the dead often enough that his imagination proved sufficient. The sense of separation that he'd felt while speaking to Amy was ripped from him, and all of his fear and rage poured back into him, filling and overflowing as he leapt forward, pulling the small corpse from the impaling claw. The moment his arms wrapped around Rouge's limp body, words filled his vision. "The goddess Gina has heard your prayer. As her champion, she grants you one of the following skills to be used in pursuit of her goals. Vengeance. Whenever one of Gina's faithful falls, you may use the power of their death to strike at their murderer, instantly killing them. Resurrection. Once every 3 days, you may bring one of Gina's faithful back from the chaos pool. They must have died within the last 5 minutes, and be a pledged adherent of Gina. You have 30 seconds to choose. 30. 29. 28. Aspen bowed his head over Rouge's remains, feeling her warm blood covering him, and fury blazed in his chest. He knew what he should choose. Rouge was a traveler. She would be reborn tomorrow, none the worse for her transitory demise. At this moment, with Vaughn and Tessel still just on the other side of the wall, and Silas' bright little spirit visible at the edge of the range of his diminished life sense, he needed to reduce the number of enemies. Specifically, he needed to destroy the hugely powerful bone dragon before it could wipe them out, with a single flick of its decayed talon. That, and the ferocity of his anger, argued for vengeance. But with the lifeless form of another child lying in his arms, taking him back to a day not nearly long enough ago, when it had been the body of his own daughter he clutched to his heart, he chose resurrection. The light beyond white flashed around him once more, and then, miraculously, he felt Rouge twitch in his arms. The girl groaned, then sat up suddenly, cracking the top of her head against his chin so hard that he fell backwards, landing on his rear with the elf girl sprawled across his lap. Rouge ripped the hood off her head, a huge grin on her face. "Oh my gosh, Aspen. That was so cool. I was totally about to log out, and it wouldn't let me. Holy cats, it was scary. I thought I was stuck, and it was the worst thing ever, because my dad was going to kill me if I wasn't already dead. But then it said you were rezzing me." "Rez." She pumped a fist. "Yes. Ultimate priest skill. Woohoo." Then she spun, the small colorful beads on her braids whipping Aspen's face as she did. She landed in a crouch, balanced perfectly on her toes, with her mombele in her right hand. She pointed the weapon at the robed man standing frozen in shock behind them. "Also, that guy is a total lickspittle. He fed me to the dragon." The man, as if stung into action by Rouge's outlandish insult, pointed at Aspen and the little thief. "Dragon. Slay them." The great dragon, nearly dead as it was, simply rolled its one remaining eye at the pair. "Kill them yourself." If Aspen hadn't already been seated, he probably would have fallen from the sheer force of that mental voice. Even filled with apathy and sorrow, it held more power than he had felt since he had faced Lich Lord Akuji himself. The thing in the robe shrieked furiously, sounding not at all human anymore, and began to swell. His robe shredded as he shot up well over 2 feet, suddenly going from just over Rouge's petite height to towering over Aspen's 6 feet 3 inches by a foot or more. His arms grew disproportionately long, until the yellowed limbs reached nearly to his knees, with 4-inch-long claws that touched his ankles as his hunched back forced his head forward and his arms to dangle low in front of him. His head, covered with sparse remnants of black hair, twisted as well. The lower jaw seemed dislocated from the upper, with massive reddish teeth protruding at all angles. His eyes protruded from his head, yellow and rheumy, and his nose receded, leaving little more than a dripping hollow in the center of his face. The monster raised his taloned hands and shrieked again, this time in pained surprise, as an axe sprouted from his chest. Aspen heard a whoop from behind him, and turned his head to see that Vaughn and Tessel had scrambled through the gaping hole he had left in the wall. Tessel stood in front, a triumphant smile on her face as a second axe appeared in her hand. She was back in her armor, and her horned helm actually looked more ferocious than comical. Rouge yelled gleefully, "Tess! Vaughn! Oh man, you don't even know how glad I am to see you guys." The girl looked around, taking in everything around them, then locked her eyes on the single remaining eye of the dragon, who laid still beside them, each breath seeming slightly shallower than the last. "Look, dragon," she said quickly, I don't know what these bad guys have on you, but if you help me for just a minute, I promise we'll help you. She sent Aspen a glance. I got a quest to help her, and I really think we ought to take it because it says she'll eat us if we don't. He just nodded, still unable to do more than stare at the now vibrantly alive girl. He felt both a fierce pride in Rouge's resilience and an agonizing sorrow that he would never again see Lark's face filled with the fierce determination that had been so characteristic of her in life. Suddenly, Rouge pointed behind the slavering monster who was now standing, chest wound closing into a pulsing greenish scar, as the creature dropped the axe to the ground beside it, huge hands unable to hold onto the handle of the weapon because of its long, curled yellow claws. "Hey, what's that?" the thief yelled, in such a blatantly false tone of surprise that Aspen was shocked when the creature actually whirled to look, exposing its bony back, ridged with too many ribs and vertebrae. The instant the thing began turning to look, Rouge took off, moving so quickly that Aspen nearly lost track of her. The flicker that was the elf dashed from shadow to shadow, up the dragon curled behind them. First the limp clawed foot, then to the rough scaled elbow, and onto a suppurating shoulder blade. As she rose higher and higher with each barely visible leap, the dragon raised the remains of one skeletal wing, and Rouge used the osseous platform to get even higher. At last, just as the monster turned back to its attackers and began to shamble toward them, once again whole and hale, lean muscles rippling with terrible strength, Rouge reached the summit of the wing. She leapt up, vanishing into the darkness. Aspen's eyes widened. It had been a long time since he'd seen this, but it was burned into his memory, as was the pain of the broken arm that he'd suffered. Aspen rolled to the side, toward Vaughn and Tessel, who were moving forward, each gripping their weapons as they readied themselves for battle. "Tessel. Shield now. Vaughn, get back." Aspen shouted, climbing to his feet and immediately diving for the hole in the wall. Down came the rain. Poisonous blades showered down on the monster behind him, stabbing into its flesh until it looked like a ham seasoned with spikes of clove. Three times the knives fell, and as the last one pierced the thing's flesh, Rouge appeared from above, Mombele already swinging for the exposed side of the bony and misshapen skull. With a crunching pop, the weapon pierced the skull, and the horror swayed, then fell with a heavy thud. Rouge leapt free of the body, rolling twice until she came up on her feet, bouncing slightly on her toes. Her eyes flickered to the side, and she groaned. "No death notification. What does it take to kill this guy?" Aspen looked at Tessel, who was now crouched just outside the hole in the wall, with a shield that was taller than she was braced on the floor so that she and Vaughn could hide behind it. The half-dwarf's mouth was hanging open as she stared at Rouge. "Tessel. Tessel." Aspen had to yell to catch the warrior's attention. "Cut off its head. Quickly." Gulping visibly, Tessel stood, trading the tower shield for a battle axe with a head as wide as she was. Taking a running start, she whirled the heavy blade twice before slamming it into the fallen body, just as it was beginning to struggle to rise. With a wet crunch, the head separated from the neck and rolled several feet away. The mouth was still snarling when the dragon lifted an enormous foot and crushed the head with contemptuous ease.